Okay, so our reading, we're still doing the nighttime encounters, and our reading today is from Matthew 14. A very familiar passage, and one that I've actually spoke about here at least once. So we start at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter said, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the people of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding areas. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. When I was thinking, starting this off, the sort of question that first came to me was, have you ever thought about the fact that you think, wasn't it just easy for Jesus in his life? Wasn't it just easy? Because he was God. He is God. It must have been really easy. But the Bible tells us quite clearly that Jesus is our high priest who understands our weaknesses. It's not just he understands our strengths. He understands our weaknesses. I don't know how it works, but the Bible tells us that Jesus is 100% human and 100% God. I'm rubbish at maths, but even I know that doesn't add up. But he is completely human and completely God. He had to be, and Pete, quite a few years ago, took us through a whole thing with that. But he understands our weaknesses. He understands what makes us tick. And so I read back in Matthew 14, I thought, what was going on before all of this happened? And if you're looking at your Bible, you'll see John the Baptist has been beheaded. John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. Remember early on in Matthew when Mary comes to Elizabeth and she says the baby jumps in her womb? There was a connection between these two. John had come to prepare the road for Jesus. He'd come to declare he's coming. There was a connection. The message comes to Jesus. John has been beheaded. He's not without emotion. He's touched by this. And he draws himself away to a solitary place. We find in Matthew 14:13. He takes himself away because it's painful. It's difficult. He's impacted by the things that are going on. He wants to reflect, but it doesn't last long. The crowds follow him. They start wanting stuff from him. And when he looks out, he has compassion. Even in the middle of his grief, he's able to be compassionate to the crowd who have followed him. So he feeds them. He gives of himself. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever thought that? There's a children's book when my boys were little, Just 5 Minutes Peace. And the mum in this book, I think it's an elephant, I can't remember, but the mum in this book keeps taking herself to places, I just want 5 minutes peace. Do you ever find that? You're trying to deal with your own issues, but you see others and you think, oh, I can't just leave them. But this is really hard. So Jesus has compassion. He feeds them. He helps them. You know, self-care has been something that probably all my life, but certainly the last 6 months or so, that God has been challenging me on. I'm rubbish at self-care. I'm very good at looking after other people, but when it comes to looking after me, I forget. I've actually thought about maybe in my diary, writing in times for me. So not just other people, but saying, this is going to be Laura's time. So she's going to do this and she's going to do that. Almost removing myself from me so that I treat myself the way I would treat others. Because I struggle. I struggle to look after me. The verse where it talks about love your neighbour as yourself has really struck me in the last few years. If I don't love me properly, how can I love my neighbour properly? If I empty myself of everything I've got, I've not got anything to give then. And I don't know about you, but I get really grumpy. I get really cross and frustrated and angry at the person. Why are you demanding more of me? I know you don't do that. But if I look after me, I then find that I have so much more to give. If I allow God to fill me, I can then give out. So I need to look after me. So Jesus understood this. He understood the need for self-care. It doesn't make your feelings go away. It doesn't stop the situation being difficult. But it just gives us what we are able to then give. Also knowing that I can't fulfill everybody's needs. I'm not God. I can walk with people. And I've said this to a few people in the last few months. I can journey with you. I can support you, but you have to be the one doing the walking. I can't walk your journey for you, but I can walk alongside you. And isn't that what we're called to do? That we come alongside each other. I can't take over your life, but I can't help support you as you're struggling, or as you're celebrating, or as it's just everyday stuff. So it's about moving together. So Jesus practiced self-care, but he didn't practice it in an isolated way. He practiced it in community with the Father and the Spirit. You read through the Gospels and he often takes himself away to pray, takes himself away to pray. He encourages the disciples, come away with me. It's a community thing as well as finding our individual thing. So Jesus cares, he heals, he feeds the multitude, and then he takes himself away again to pray. He's tried this once before and it didn't quite work, but at least now he's fed them and hopefully they'll move on. Puts the disciples in the boat and tells them, we're going to the other side. Off you go. Jesus is praying and night falls. This is where it fits into our nighttime encounter. They're heading off to the other side, but they're in trouble because the wind and the waves and the storm have come up. I had a quick look and Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles wide and about 8.1 miles long. It's a reasonable distance. And it tells us that they were already a good distance from shore. So they weren't close enough to shore to think, oh, we'll be all right, we'll just jump in and swim. They were stuck. This storm was raging. And it's dark. I don't know about you, I know I bore people with this story, but when I was 18, I was allowed to go on a tea ship from Edinburgh to London. And quite a few times in the night, we had to do duties, and quite a few times I would have the midnight watch, but it was very dark. And when we were out at sea, it was so dark I couldn't see my hand. I knew my hand was there, but I couldn't see it. It was that dark. I don't know if you've been in that kind of darkness. Everything just feels so different. The slightest sound feels amplified. If you have a brush against your skin, it feels like it's something really big and horrible. So it's dark. I'm not going to speak much about the storm. I'm going to speak about a word that is mentioned three times in quite a short passage that we've read. And that word is immediately. Three times we get that word in as part of a sentence. Verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Verse 27, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And in 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And when I was thinking about this, I thought, but that doesn't always happen, does it? It doesn't always happen immediately. Sometimes we have to wait. And then that made me think about Lazarus. In Psalm 13, David says, how long? And I can imagine Martha and Mary and Lazarus' other family members going, how long is Jesus going to take? We sent a message to him, and he's still not arrived. Jesus waits 4 days before he actually gets to them. That certainly wasn't immediately. And I just wondered, are you in a place like that at the minute? Is there something that you've asked God for? Is there something that you're trusting God for? Is there something that God has promised to you? And you're thinking, how long? How long will I have to keep going on like this? How long will I suffer? How long will I struggle? How long will this situation take before it changes? You know that God's promises are true and that he's faithful, but you can't see how those promises are going to be fulfilled. The disciples were going to the other side. That's what Jesus had said. Get in the boat, go to the other side. And the storm kicks off and they're panicking. In the dark and in the storm, it was difficult to see how they were going to get out of this. I want to encourage all of us today, if we're in that situation, hold on. Hold on. Because Jesus will respond. Jesus appears at just the right time for Peter and for Mary and Martha. They might not have thought that. He tells the disciples before, there's a reason why I'm holding back. I want you to see the power that God has. I want you to see who I truly am. I want you to understand that. We know that Jesus, when he heard about Lazarus, he wept. So it wasn't that he was not without compassion for the family. But there was a reason behind this. Romans 5, 6 and 8 says, at just the right time, while we were powerless to do anything, Jesus came. At just the right time. Have you ever thought, when you became a Christian, I was nearly 14 when I became a Christian, but there is times when I think, if only I'd have met God sooner. If only I'd have got to know him earlier in my life. Then some of the issues that I've had to face wouldn't have had to be faced. But the Bible says it's just the right time. God knows when he is planning for things in our life. And we need to trust him. And there's many times in the Bible that we're reminded that God's ways are not our ways. For example, Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are different to ours. He has the big picture. There was a story that I heard many years ago about someone who was on a river that meandered. And as they were standing down looking at the river, they looked to the right and they could see a few hundred yards. They looked to the left, they could see another few hundred yards, but that was it. They couldn't see any more. They hadn't got a clue where this river was going to take them or whether it was the right way to go left or right. They were then taken up the hillside. And as they looked down on the river, they could see exactly where it went. They could see the places that if they were in a boat or a canoe, that it was going to be a bit shallow and maybe wouldn't be the best way to go. They could see the bits where maybe there was a waterfall and it was going to be dangerous. So they could plan their journey in a different way. That is like us. We are standing at the river. We can see so far, but we can't see everything. But God is above and has that big picture and is able to see what is going on. So when he calls us, if we follow, we can trust him. It doesn't mean we don't have difficulties, but we can trust him that he's seen what's up ahead and he'll make sure we have what we need. Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 1 says that there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun. There is a time for things, and we need to trust God's timing. And we could learn from nature as well. Jeremiah 8 and 7 says, even the stork in the sky knows her appointed season, and the dove, the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord, Jeremiah said. We can learn from creation. There is a time for everything. So Peter declares when Jesus walks towards them, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And I thought, that I'm not sure that would be my first response. I think my first response would be, what are you doing here? How have you done this? And can you help us? I'm really sure I wouldn't say, if it's you, tell me to come out on that water. But Peter does. We know that Peter is someone who sometimes speaks before he thinks. It's like, I'll do it. Let me get it. So he declares, if it's you, then tell me to come out and I'll do it. And Jesus calls him. He just says, come. Peter gets out the boat. He's trusting Jesus. Can you imagine what that felt like? To be able to stand on the water. Now remember, the storm's still going. It's not nice, calm water. It's still a bit choppy. He gets out and he stands on the water just like Jesus. He takes a few steps and then it says, when he saw the wind, again, I thought that was quite interesting. When he saw the wind, don't you feel the wind or hear the wind? But when he saw the impact that the wind was having on the waves and the water around him, and maybe even the boat, maybe he looked back and saw the boat was doing all sorts of things. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. You've called me out, and I've taken that step. But it feels like it's all gone wrong. I wish I hadn't stepped up and said that. I wish I'd have stayed safe in the boat. But save me. And that's when we get that immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. He didn't waste any time. He didn't say, well, Peter, you're going to learn from your mistake. Peter, you should have trusted me more. He says a little bit about that after. But immediately, he takes his hand and rescues them. And then they get into the boat. Even in the situation of the beginning to sink in this water, Peter does call out to Jesus. He still understands that Jesus is the only one who's going to be able to rescue him in this place. And there is a contrast to Lazarus for me in this. But that's one that I need to go away and think about a bit more. Why did he immediately save Peter, but then raised Lazarus days later? Some of it we know because he tells the disciples. Our challenge is still to trust God, no matter the storm, no matter the timescale, and no matter our fears. Are we still able to trust him? Darkness heightens our emotions. As I said, when it's dark, everything seems scarier. You put a light on it, it's like, oh, it was just a cobweb. It's just the fridge kicking in. Noises and feelings and stuff just seem so much more. But we must remember that darkness does not limit God in any way, shape, or form. In Psalm 139, it tells us that God says, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God is not restricted by any darkness. And Matthew 10:27 says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered to your ear, proclaim from the roofs. For me, in the last few years, God has been really challenging me about this intimacy and this whole idea of whispering. Mike Polivacci often says, you know, when God really wants our attention, he whispers. Why? Because it makes us move closer. If someone shouts at you, you move away. But if someone whispers, you draw your ear closer. You want to hear. And as you get closer, you can feel their breath. And if you get really close, with your ears right on their chest, you'll hear the heartbeat. And that's been the challenge that God has given to me. How close am I willing to get? What he tells us in the dark, whether that dark is a physical darkness, whether it's a spiritual darkness, whether it's an emotional darkness, it's about listening to what he says. What did Jesus say to the disciples in the middle of this storm? Take courage. It's I. Do not be afraid. I'm here. I'm here for you. And I will make sure that we get through this together. Do you think that might have encouraged them later in life when other things came up? Do you think they might have sat around and said, do you remember when we were on that boat and it was flying around the place and then Jesus appeared and then he spoke to us and we were terrified, but he told us to not be afraid. He told us to be courageous because he was with us. Do you think that might have encouraged them as they faced other times of darkness? He also tells us in our dark times, things to hold on to. He tells us in the light as well, but in the difficult times, sometimes it feels like his words are so much clearer, so much stronger. He doesn't mess about saying loads of stuff to the disciples, like, now guys, you know who I am and you know that I can do this stuff. And he doesn't go into a big long list of stuff. He just says, take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. So listen out for when God is speaking. It doesn't have to be a long dialogue. It might just be a word. My word for this year is enough. And again, God is challenging me to believe that he says I'm enough. He is enough. There is enough. I don't always hold on to it, but it's that challenge to say, it's enough, Laura. You don't have to please everyone. You don't have to do stuff to try and achieve my love, because you know my love is there. And he says the same for each one of us. It is enough. No matter how dark it might seem, Jesus says, I am with you. Let that sink in. When Moses said, who shall I say who sent me? God says, tell them, I am who I am. The Creator God, the Almighty. And he comes to you and he says, I am with you, even to the ends of the world, even to the end of life, even to the darkest place that you might find yourself in. I am with you. He will act. It might not be immediately. It might be in time. But he will act. And as we trust him, we can be confident that he has heard our cry. And he has everything under control. Our journey with God is a personal thing. In Philippians, it says, continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, because God is working on you. There is a personal element to this. But there is also that community side of it, that he puts us together, that we might share with each other, share in the problems, share in the joys, share in the everyday stuff, that we might do life together, knowing that we can encourage each other. So it's personal, but we are charged with sharing the things that God has revealed. What he tells us in the darkness, declare in the light. What he whispers to us, shout it from the roof. Don't keep what God is saying to you to yourself. Share it with those around you, because you never know, that might just be what they need to hear at that point. God wants us to show him to our communities, to our families, to our countries, to our nation, to our world. He calls us to be his light in the dark places. So I thought I'd just leave us with three questions to think on. Are you confident in God's timing? Are you able to say, in your time, God, I trust that you've heard me? Or do you find it really difficult? I do. I'm someone who would like things done yesterday, if not sooner. But when God says wait, and again, there's a whole aspect of waiting on God in the Bible, are we able to say, I trust you. I trust you've got it in hand. And at the right time, you will reveal what I need to know. Is he calling you out of the boat? Now, the reason I put the boat in those is it's something that the disciples were familiar with. They would have travelled across the lakes in these boats all the time. Is he calling you out of something that you're familiar with, that you're used to being around, you're used to doing? Is he calling you to step out into something that's going to be a little bit scary, but with the words, I am with you. Don't be discouraged by it. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And will we step out and trust him? Are we willing to get out of that boat? Are we willing to take his hand and walk the way that he has taken us? So Peter and the disciples, although they were scared, although the boat was bouncing around on the waves, they found that Jesus was more than capable of helping them in this storm. And I pray that for each one of us, whatever storm of life comes, we will know that God is able, and that he trusts, he loves us, and we should trust him to do what is right. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you understand our weaknesses. Thank you that you have promised to be with us always. And I pray now that we will be able to trust you, no matter how stormy things get, that we will believe the words that you tell us, and that we will walk with you, whatever may come. Father, encourage us all today that we do not face a future alone, but we face it with you, and you're more than capable of dealing with whatever comes. Thank you for that. Amen.